Place to Be Nation. Welcome back to this edition of the NBA Team Podcast, which is actually a special edition of the NBA Team Podcast because we're going to be hitting up on the NCAA tournament with all of our picks and all of our predictions. We're going to go through the entire bracket. Not going to try to go warp speed, but we got a little bit of house cleaning that we can get through while we're talking about it, since we've had a couple of weeks that we haven't had an episode due to a lot of like missing of the schedule. I am your co-host, Andrew Reich. I am joined by Adam Murray, who is under the weather, unfortunately. Adam, are you doing okay?
Well, this is the high point of your year. This is like one of your...
I had to drag your dead carcass out of on the Skype first so that I can get this done, yes.
This is one of your Christmases of let's talk college hoops. Every year, you know, like, and we're going to change it up this year, which you haven't mentioned yet, because we always go, let's do the NBA prospects here.
Yeah, I don't sound like JT Rizzero, Scott Criscolo. It's kind of strange. We didn't have JT last year. We had Scott. Scott couldn't do it this time, so there's no PICs this time. It's just us. It's just and Adam. I don't think you've done this one before. I know we have Matt Rotello and his annual what the hell stupid thing he's gonna say, and that's not gonna happen this year. We had Logan, I believe, went last year, and you know we've had some in all Scott's brother Chris, but. Nope, it's just going to be you and me. We're going to be hitting it up. We're going to be having some fun while we do so. A little bit – the format's going to be just a tad different, but you know, a little bit more of an open mic. But we got some thoughtful stuff that we can throw at you and some tips on, you know, what to do with your bracket in this case. The first thing I would just want to hit on with the NCAA season in general, because you know, we talk about it a little bit every now and then because we keep an eye on the prospects as the NBA season rolls around, because sometimes it's impossible not to. You see guys like Marvin Bagley, DeAndre Ayton, Mo Bamba, who's just like this freakish big man, and then Michael Porter Jr. just deciding all of a sudden he actually wants to play because his stock was crashing.
Yeah.
Do you think that's what it was?
Oh, of course it was. When you see him down the bottom of the lottery all of a sudden, oh no, no, hey, I'm really that good. You know, because back injuries are...
Here's the funny part. He had been cleared by like every doctor in America, and then they finally came up to Quanzo Martin, the Missouri head coach, and he said he'll play when he wants to play. So now he's like, oh, okay, now I see how it is. He's just holding the team hostage. He just doesn't give a shit. He just wants to play when he feels like it. You could have just fucking said that from the start, you know?
Pretty much. He's just there for another week just to play a few games, and all of a sudden, okay, now he's going to be in the NBA. It sort of is just a joke that, you know, I don't want to say that he's made a farce of everything, but...
He's not the first one, to be honest.
No, he's not the first one. And then did you watch him play his game back? He was terrible.
Yeah, he took 17 shots, which some people like that because they felt like, oh, he's going to go out there and try to ball out. It's like, yeah, if you're balling out, though, taking like 17 shots and only making 5 of them, you're not balling out, you're sucking. You know, that's there's a huge difference. It might backfire on him, maybe, you know, because we'll talk about him in the 8-9 game really soon because that's one of the first ones we're hitting up. But, like, I mean, I don't think it'll backfire. I don't think he can hurt his stock anymore. But let's kind of like just get into like the nuts and bolts of or a general summary of the college season. In my opinion, I didn't feel like there were any great teams this year, but the one team that had a great year on paper, but they don't really pass the smell test when you watch them play is Virginia. So the idea of was there a great team? In my opinion, not really. That might come to fruition after through the tournament as these teams start to strengthen if the top seeds survive. But the one team on paper that really got it done was Virginia, and they just don't look like that kind of great dominant team. Would you agree?
Let's put it this way. If you're trying to say, you know, Wichita State was a top 10 team this year, Houston's a top 25 team, your entire season is pretty much shitty. The same way it happened to college football. Every team was just purely mediocre. And, you know, you're trying to tell me West Virginia has a good team. You're telling me I should care about who else was overrated this year? Most of the Big Ten.
Oh, like a lot of the Big Ten, only 4 teams in the Big Ten got in. I mean, the ACC was very loaded. They had 9 that got in, including the 9th one, Syracuse, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But, you know, it felt like it does feel like the middle was very, very muddy. And there was a lot of talk about the fact that a lot of teams that seemed like they were going to get in did not get in because of bid thieves in championship week. So a lot of people's like, well, the bubble was very strong. There was a lot, the bottom teams were all good. Dude, it never changes every year, to be honest with you. The bubble is always bad. Like, the bottom teams are all bad. And do some of them make runs? Yes, because it's all about matchups in the NCAA tournament. That's what's always forgotten and always comes back to bite these people who pick, you know, auto brackets.
Yeah, pretty much. But at the same time, it's these two. Well, why did this team get in? Because at this point, there's 68 teams, and who cares if we could have all 11 seeds and all 12 seeds facing off against each other? It's just like, come on, you're not that good to begin with. You had a shitty season. Nobody cares that you're 18 and 13. You're just not that good. Sorry.
But there is a difference between just barely getting in and then making a run. Like, the idea that, like, Syracuse going to the Final Four, VCU going to the Final Four, when they do that, it's like, it's almost like a justification. Like, oh, you see, they did deserve to be in. It's like, no. No, that has nothing to do with Selection Sunday. Selection Sunday means, did you do enough up to that season to get in? And that's a very sketchy answer, but once you get the opportunity and everyone's counting you out, and then you galvanize your team and you make a run, that's a whole nother thing. And that's something that just cannot be predicted. Another thing that can't be predicted that we see all the time in the NCAA tournament for these bracket dips is that sometimes these top teams, like top four seeded or higher teams, sometimes they just have a shitty game, Adam. They just play like crap. And you can't predict it. It just happens.
And it all comes down to luck and scheduling. And it's just, yeah, you have two teams that make it, but what about the 12 that you were talking about for these two spots? It's, for the most part, it's the same. Even like when we get to every year, oh, it's a Sweet 16. Here are the two Cinderella teams. Yeah, but it's all the teams we know. And it's just, you know, the first 2 weeks are magical. Then it sort of falls apart.
Yeah, the first four days, which is the first round and second round, wonderful, wonderful. Then you get to Sweet 16, and it all starts to get a little chalky. It gets a little familiar. You start seeing those Elite Eight games, maybe one out of the blue where you're like, oh, I didn't see that coming, and then the rest of them are pretty much four seeds or higher. You know, it's kind of the type of teams where you're like, yeah, I've seen this team all year, and this is what it's all coming down to. You know, there's not that inevitability this year, but I do feel like some of these high seeds have some chances. But the last thing we want to talk about is before we really dig in is the FBI cases. The scandal did, you know, have a few layers to it, which started with the first arrest of Christian Dawkins, and then all those subpoenaed cases with like Chuck Person and Tony Bland at USC, and the effect that it had some on the teams in different ways. Louisville having to fire Rick Pitino, which, let's be honest, did that cost? I'll just ask you quick: did that cost them in their tournament seat? Like, would they have made the tournament if Rick Pitino coached the team?
Well, if Rick Pitino coached the team, they would have had that kid they paid $125,000 for. So,
Brian Bowen.
Yeah.
So it had like Auburn. They still had a great year, but they were without two of their players. D'Anthony Melton got shut down by USC in the Tony Bland case. He's out. Then they had the second phase, which was the Yahoo report with Pat Forty, and I don't remember the second guy. I wish I could credit him correctly, but they basically busted Pete Thamel, and they busted out the Christian Dawkins spreadsheet with all the pay players, it's funny, it's amusing. Some of them are only in like 200s and 100s, and it's just some funny stuff. But it did have its effect where they had to pull some players, but
It's just funny how you had the NCAA like, no, we checked it out. It's all good. Oh, this, you know, Melvin Bagley, oh, he donated $40. He's clear. He's good now. It's just like, you know, they weren't going to do anything because of the money-making TV deal.
Not just that, the epidemic level of it. It's like, okay, that means you just have to shut down everybody.
Which you can't do that with that TV deal. So it's just, nope, everybody's good, everybody's clean, and then hope, you know, next year I don't know what they're going to do next year, but
it almost feels like the schools are daring them. They're daring them to actually make
kind of just like, let's just get the season done over. Let's just get it so something else happens.
Okay, and speaking of getting things over with, are you ready to actually jump into – this is the fun part. Are you ready to dive into the seeds and into the sub-regionals, and then we move through?
Okay, and a lot of this will be like, why should I care about two mediocre teams playing like 75% of these games? But let's do it.
Well, it's always fun to just kind of blurt out some names and some people that we probably will never see again, to be honest with you. You know, you and I on the NBA team. I mean, let's be honest. How many of these team players are we going to ever talk about? Maybe like 10 of them? 7? Like 11? 12?
It'll be most of the highly rated freshmen, and and we won't. Most of them won't do much, but that's not going to stop them.
You know, this is all on the CBS and Turner platform. Hated the selection show format. I hope I never see that again. That was ridiculous. But it's over now, and we're all moving on. So let's start with that South bracket. That's where Virginia, the overall number one seed, got their one seed. They're going to play UMBC. That's easy. This is in Charlotte, by the way. This is a sub-regional. The one plays an 8-9 winner in the second round. Always a little tricky sometimes. Creighton and Kansas State is the 8-9 game. Creighton's good offensively. Kansas can steal the ball a lot. They got a good player named Dean Wade. Also, Marcus Foster played at Kansas State. I want to say Creighton.
Storylines.
Yes. So revenge factor stuff. Yes.
You went with Creighton?
I go with Creighton. Yes.
Okay, it's an 8-9 game, so nobody cares. Other than those two schools.
Well, the fun part is that you're really not sure. You know, that's the Vegas. You know, I tried to get a guy that sort of in the Vegas side of things, and this is the one where the money lines are always fun because you never know who's going to show up.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason why they're here. You know, they weren't good enough to really get to that upper tier, but they weren't bad enough to just drop out the tournament completely.
Exactly.
All right, so we'll move on. We'll skip that for a second. And here's the one that everyone's talking about. This is the 5-4. Everyone is already chalking in Kentucky versus Arizona. Is there a chance that Buffalo upsets Arizona or Davidson upsets Kentucky?
No.
Before we do that. So you think it's Arizona versus Kentucky and Boise in the second round?
This
ain't the Kentucky team that you're always used to. You know, they're super duper young. They're even younger than they were in previous years. But they were really average all year long. They did not play great. They could rebound, but that was really it. They couldn't make threes. And then all of a sudden, they really played well in that SEC tournament.
Yeah, they just turned it on when they needed to. And they weren't good at all. But at the same point, Davidson, they beat St. Bonaventure by hitting 15 threes. They just got streaky. And it's Kentucky. They're gonna pull it out because they have the size and the speed and everything else. So, and Arizona, Buffalo, same thing. It's Arizona. You're the best player in college. So, no reason it shouldn't be that.
Dallas sub-regional. This is going to be the 6-11 matchup: Miami versus Loyola Chicago. Loyola Chicago dominated the Valley. This comes though with an asterisk that Wichita State's not in the Valley anymore. So, not one hurdle that they did not have to leap over anymore. Miami was up and down, but they're from the ACC. They got some talent, and there is a rumor that Bruce Brown, who's an NBA prospect, might be able to come back, but no one's sure just yet. Do you see the upset here on 6-11?
No, I don't. I don't really.
You'll go with Miami.
I'm completely unexcited at this point. And on the flip side, we have Tennessee and Wright State.
Yeah, I can't pick Wright State. That was a bad. They were from the horizon. They were not good. I go with Tennessee. I got Tennessee and Miami too. I do. Yeah. Nashville. This is Nevada versus Texas. Pro alert. We got Mo Bamba in Texas, but they did underachieve. They were also missing like Andrew Jones, who was one of their top guards, where I think he had to go down because he was getting treated for leukemia, which is like, this guy almost went pro last year. That would have been just incredibly tragic if that happened while he was in the NBA.
That is strange.
They play Nevada, who did not win the Mountain West Conference tournament. San Diego State did, but they won the regular season. Eric Musselman, former NBA coach, he is the coach there. Good record, good gaudy record for Nevada, but do you feel like that they have enough to beat Texas, who's good defensively, very good defensively, with Bamba in the middle and some size, but they're not offensively not very gifted?
Well, what about those two transfers to Nevada?
Caleb and Cody Martin out of NC State.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're good. Kendall Stevens came from Purdue. They also lost a good player named Lindsey Drew to a torn Achilles, so that might hold them back a little bit. I personally have Texas, unless you disagree.
No, I will concede Texas to you.
You'll concede Texas. Cincinnati, Georgia State, nope. No, not this time for Georgia State. Remember when they beat Baylor when R.J. Hunter basically made himself an NBA player?
he got himself a couple million out of that, and now he's just going to be D-League.
Yeah, I don't think Ron's going to be having the cast this time, but he's not going to need it because he's going to be gone in about 40 minutes. Cincinnati. Okay, now we're going to be moving back up. Cincinnati versus Texas in that national sub-regional. I got Cincinnati. Their defense is too good.
Cincinnati, uninspiring.
Tennessee versus Miami. That's 3-6.
Tennessee.
I got Miami.
Really?
But you might be able to talk me into it with Tennessee.
Miami just seems to be just...
up and down?
Yeah.
But they're talented. Dewan Ewell's a guy that we've heard about before. Who's the guard? Lonnie Walker? That's the McDonald's All-American, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he's got a lot of blow after the Bruce Brown injury. But, you know, Jim Larrañaga, you know, in Miami, they've overachieved in the tournament. In the regular season, they're kind of up and down. But I'm not sure. I'll concede about Tennessee on that one. I will, because they're the higher seed. Grant Williams was the SEC Player of the Year. Admiral Schofield. I think Admiral Schofield can play in the NBA. I think he could be one of those, like, junkyard dog small forwards off the bench who plays good defense. I don't think Grant Williams is going to be an NBA player.
I don't think so, but I think just Tennessee's more of a team as opposed to just Miami, who's just sort of waits to get hot.
Yes, defensively they're both really good, but Tennessee's just a little bit better. You know, Rick Barnes coaches at Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
This is what a lot of people are going to feel like is the main event of the first weekend in that bracket. This region, Kentucky and Arizona. I got Arizona winning. I think Arizona's just straight up better.
Oh, I'll take Arizona as well.
I mean, I know they got size in there with, like, Nick Richards and P.J. Washington, and Jared Vanderbilt is kind of a small ball center, but I don't think any of them can stop DeAndre Ayton. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who's the top guard for Kentucky, he's going to have a lot of trouble with Alonzo Trier. I'm not saying Alonzo Trier is perfect, because I think he hogs up too many shots, because they need to just go inside more to Ayton, kind of run that Shaq, Phil Jackson triangles kind of stuff. But I don't know. I mean, I feel like they're really going to go to their bread and butter here when things get really tight, because this game will get tight. I mean, it will. I mean, Kentucky's not just going to go down weak. So Arizona's going to have to pull out a little bit of extra effort to win it, but I think they'll win it. Virginia versus Creighton. Creighton's good offensively, but the moment Virginia starts to kind of put the clamps in and they can't score, they're done for, because Virginia can run really good ball movement.
No arguments here.
You don't argue there. Okay. Now we're going to go into the South Regional, which is in Atlanta. Virginia and Arizona. This is sort of my conundrum here. What you got?
I would go with Arizona, because there's no reason they shouldn't win it this year.
I've got Arizona, too.
They're
I just think
choke.
They have the best player. You know, a team that rebounds really well is going to can give Virginia trouble, because they play at such a slow pace. Their rebounding rate is okay. They don't get a ton of offensive rebounds, but they play so slow.
And forget the NCAA tournament is so terrible. People are just taking terrible shots the entire game. You need a rebounding team.
And does Virginia have a go-to guy between Kyle Guy, Ty Jerome, Devon Hall, DeAndre Hunter, who I've seen in some NBA draft boards? No, they don't. The answer is really no. I mean, and sometimes that's a good thing, because, you know, it's like five fingers make a fist kind of thing. But I don't know if this is going to work necessarily when you play a team with just one or two players. Like, Raleigh Alkins is the other one in Arizona we don't talk about. Do you think Raleigh Alkins is a pro?
No.
I haven't really heard his name a lot.
No, he sort of just faded.
I mean, he's good. I ain't going to doubt that on a college level. You know, I think Trier's a pro just because of his ability to shoot. And, I mean, Aiden's number one. I mean, do you argue there with Aiden being number one?
No, you can't really argue with him. It's the same way. You have that transcend talent. Like,
we're going to talk about Bagley in a minute, but
it's just one in 1A. Or not one in 1A. It's just he's like the Karl-Anthony Towns. He's just way better than everybody else. He's that you know, that he is this year's guy. He is.
And could Arizona lose to Kentucky and all of a sudden all this is a wash? Yeah, maybe.
Of course.
You know, I mean, it could happen. Tennessee and Cincinnati, defense versus defense. I got Cincinnati in this one. I really like that team, even though Mick Cronin's let me down a lot, but I really like that Cincinnati team.
I will concede to you. Cincinnati in the, you know, really, can I just say it's a definition of the who cares conference?
Which just one?
The American Athletic Conference. Just, you know.
Yeah.
Houston and Tulsa, like Temple, Tulane.
Well, Big Hurt was just UConn who fired Kevin Ollie. They just really went downhill fast. I mean, if they were still good, we'd have maybe a 3 or 4 pillar type of situation, but it's just not there.
Yeah, so it's like you were the best. You know, you were lost 2 or 3 games in their conference, but is, you know, Central Florida and Memphis really scaring anybody?
No, yeah, no. So, even though Memphis is trying to fire Tubby Smith, even though they won 21 games. Memphis is hilarious. Arizona-Cincinnati is the one that we've had and have in the regional final here. This is for tickets to the Final Four. Two guys that every time they get even somewhat close to the Final Four, they can't do it. Sean Miller and Mick Cronin. So who you got?
Oh, I will pick Arizona, although they're probably going to lose Kentucky, so I'll be moot.
Arizona's better defensively. Now, defensively, Arizona's struggled. Offensively is what I meant. Is that offensively, I just have a lot of trouble with Cincinnati. In crunch time, they just can't get it done. They can't get buckets. They got good players like Gary Clark and Jacob Evans. They have this one kid. He wears number 34. His name is Jerron Cumberland. And I think he's going to actually be an NBA player down the stretch. I think he could be one of those stronger small forward types. I think sneaky, he's the best player that they have. But, you know, I just don't see them being able to garner enough points if the opposing team, in this case Arizona, is able to at least get this thing to like 65 or 70 points. I don't know if Cincinnati can pull it off. That's my biggest problem. I know they could beat Tennessee. I know they could beat Texas. I don't know if they could beat Arizona.
I agree.
You're giving up already. We got 3 regions to go.
No, it's just, you know, Cincinnati, you can't talk me into them, period. So it's just like
I can talk you into Virginia beating Arizona?
No, I think Arizona just, you know, again, best player, you have to sort of ride with them.
Okay. Let's get to the West. This was the weakest one seed, Xavier. We obviously think they're going to beat the NC Central Texas Southern play-in game winner, of course. Unless you have a 16 over a 1.
No.
The 8-9 is Missouri versus Florida State. This is in Nashville, by the way. Missouri kind of chopped their way into a NCAA tournament berth with Quanzo Martin taking over. But there are 2 problems. Number one, Michael Porter's back. Now, everyone's saying, how is that a bad thing? Michael Porter is like a lottery pick. But, I mean, that's one of those things where you might ruin chemistry and blah, blah, blah. The other thing is that Jordan Barnett, who was their second leading scorer, got a DUI. So he's probably going to be suspended for that first round game if they get through it. Florida State struggled. You know, in the ACC, I really was not impressed with them. I liked last year's team when they had Jonathan Isaac and all those big trees in the front court. But this one's been kind of a crappy team. Like, which one do you have here?
Oh, I would pick Missouri in just the battle of mediocrity, because wasn't MJ Walker supposed to be?
MJ Walker was the one McDonald's All-American along with a couple of others that just didn't get it done. The other one was Billy Preston, but we know why. Billy Preston got caught basically driving a car he didn't buy when he got into a car crash on Kansas campus. So they basically told him, you're going to have to get out of here. You're not eligible.
And now he's just somewhere in Europe just
yeah.
lost.
Well, no, he messed up his shoulder. He went overseas and he messed up his shoulder and came back to the States. So, yeah, he's in a bad way. I mean, this is why, you know, some people are like, well, no, you know what? You don't need college. College system's broken. You need to go overseas and try to challenge yourself. Dude, do you have any idea how much better the overseas players are than you being completely underdeveloped coming out of AAU ball? Please. That's not smart.
Exactly. So there's a big difference between, you know, 33-year-old professionals who play for, you know, been professionals for 15 years as opposed to you just, well, I do AAU. I'm just as good. No.
Michael Porter was considered a finished product out of high school. Now, he only played one full game. That was a tournament game, the SEC tournament against Georgia. Took 17 shots, just didn't look good. We talked about him at the top of the show. What do you think here? Do you think he can be like an X factor?
No, I just think Missouri is the last dumpster fire in this group.
Okay, let's just go right into that Boise sub-regional. Ohio State is in the 5-12 matchup. They play South Dakota State. South Dakota State's got this guy named Mike Dom who averages like 24 points and 10 rebounds. He's one of those like low major, like you remember Thomas Walkup at Stephen F. Austin, one of those kinds of players. Do you think that they can pull the upset?
No. They came close last year with the 5-12 in Maryland, I believe, weren't they? Or was that a 4-13?
I think it was a 4-13 because when West Virginia, I believe, was a 5 when they beat them in the next round.
I have Ohio State.
The other one is going to be Gonzaga, who you would consider like pretty close to their quarters. They play UNC Greensboro. UNC Greensboro was actually not bad out of the conference that they played in, which I think is called the Southern Conference, but I don't have them losing to Gonzaga or beating Gonzaga in the first round. I just don't see it.
Gonzaga kind of underachieved this year.
Well, they had they were only a 4-loss team. The one problem I have with Gonzaga personally is that they went into WCC play. They had that one loss to St. Mary's at home, and then they crushed everybody else in WCC play, which is fine. BYU had a down year, and the rest of the WCC was bad. When I saw them in non-conference, I watched them play Villanova in Madison Square Garden, and they looked like crap. Like, Mikhail Bridges just destroyed them. And then they went to San Diego State. They got killed there. They went to the PK80, and they lost in double overtime in this crazy game against Florida.
That's what I meant. I know. You could be like, oh, what are you talking about? They only had 4 losses. How are they underachieving?
But the ones they lost were the most important ones.
Yeah, and nobody thinks anybody in the West Coast, you know, in San Francisco and Portland and Pepperdine. Like, come on. No, that's a joke.
Yes, it is. I agree with you. We're going to get back to that one. Now we're in the Wichita sub-regional. Houston plays San Diego State. San Diego State got the automatic bid in the Mountain West Conference Tournament. But, you know, Brian Dutcher, I don't know if you've ever seen the Fab Five documentary on ESPN, but Brian Dutcher is interviewed a lot in that documentary because he was like one of the key recruiters for Steve Fisher. He's basically followed Steve Fisher everywhere he's gone, all the way up to like the late 80s in Michigan. So it's not like Dutcher was like – he's a first-year head coach, but it's not like he don't know what he's doing.
Yep, but with that being said, I think we should just finally give a shout-out to Malik Pope.
Who got paid, by the way? I don't know what bag of cash – Christian Dawkins or Andy Miller gave him, but it wasn't that much. They did have to pull him for one game.
I think finally, after 4 years of saying, is he going to do something? I'd say give him the nod.
I think Chad Ford was just in love with him. He just would not get him off his top 100 list ever. Like, he stayed there. I still got Houston in this one. Houston had that's the team coached by Kelvin Sampson out of the American. They had a really good year. I don't think people really realized how good of a year Houston had.
Okay, fine. I concede.
All right. They would play the winner of Michigan-Montana. I got Michigan there. Let's move to the Charlotte sub-regional. North Carolina plays Lipscomb. Bye-bye, Lipscomb. Then you have in the 7-10, Texas A&M versus Providence College.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of that team?
PC got hot at the end of the year, and certain people are extremely happy. So, Texas A&M, they really weren't.
They were disappointing. I mean, Robert Williams was the SEC Defensive Player of the Year, but it just seems like he could be better than he actually is.
He just didn't improve. Problem. He went back to improving.
I agree with that. Defensively, I think he got a tad better, but offensively, he was the same. He was the same player.
And I think that's what people wanted, was the offensive game, not the, like, okay, we know you can play defense.
You know, they wanted DJ Hogue to be like a Klay Thompson, a 6'9" shooter, and he just never really became that. He's got great stroke. He just doesn't make them. Edmond Gilder was okay, but he's had injuries. They had a lot of suspensions that also kind of ruined the depth of that team. The talent's there. In the games where they played well, they like blew out some of their SEC opponents, the good ones. But I just don't – and also, they I think – didn't they go to Germany and they blew out West Virginia like in the first game of the season? So they had some impressive wins. It's just that
Let's just give it to Providence.
Okay,
let's
you want to get him
let's
over.
Just make Justin happy because they're going to get destroyed by North Carolina either way.
They gotta beat Texas A&M on the boards. They can't let Texas A&M just dominate in the paint with Tyler Davis and Robert Williams. That's the biggest question. You know, the problem though is that Providence's guards are way deeper than Texas A&M's. Like A&M's got almost no guards.
Well, of course.
All right, now we're going to be moving back upwards. We're going to stay in that Charlotte regional sub-regional though. Providence plays USC, UNC in this case. This will be the third time in like 5 years that it happened. Close one in 2014, not so close in 2016. What do you see here?
Oh, UNC should win by like 20.
Oh, wow. And so do you think the lack of size will, because UNC is a tremendous rebounding team. I think they were first in the nation, not among power conference schools, like all schools. Do you think that's going to be the factor there?
Yeah, basically, it's just, you know, UNC is a sexy pick to take the whole thing. Providence, okay, you made it to the second round. Good for you.
Mm-hmm. And if they win, they played a decent team to get there. You know, it wasn't like they played. You know, some people are happy they don't have to play USC anymore because USC didn't make the tournament. Michigan versus Houston. This one is kind of tough. It's in Wichita. I'll go with Michigan anyway.
Why not?
I mean, defensively, they've just been rock solid, rock solid. I mean, that was kind of the thing that's been really pushing the Michigan train is that in the Big Ten tournament, they really turned it on the defensive end. Ohio State versus Gonzaga in Boise. Now, Gonzaga blew out Ohio State in the PK80, which was this Nike-sponsored tournament at two different locations for Phil Knight's 80th birthday, and they got all these big-time schools to take part. And Ohio State did not play well in that PK80, and one of the losses they had was to Gonzaga. I don't always go immediately with that and say, well, because that happened in the regular season, it'll happen again. I think that's kind of lazy. Do you agree?
No, because I don't. I would pick Gonzaga.
So you're going to pick Gonzaga anyway.
I just don't know what else to tell you.
Well, Gonzaga's got more size for sure than Ohio State. The thing is, I feel like Ohio State with Kata Bates Diop and Jay Sean Tate, I think they can go small and give them some problems. But I'll defer there and I'll go with Gonzaga. Xavier versus Missouri, that's in Nashville. I'll go with Xavier there. I know a lot of people say, well, Xavier's right for the picking as a one seed. They're overrated. But I don't think they're going to lose to Mizzou. Please.
Oh, I agree as well.
Okay, now we're in the regional, like the regional semifinal and final here, and that's in Los Angeles in the Staples Center. Do you think Lonzo Ball's gonna be watching any of these games, or maybe do you think LeVar's gonna be watching them?
No.
You think Jeff Kingman's gonna follow them there?
LeVar is gonna be in Lithuania promoting something, and Lonzo will be, you know, being the professional player he is.
Okay,
and he's getting better.
Xavier versus Gonzaga, two very good offensive teams, Trayvon Blue and, you know, JP McCura. And then also Enes Kanter's Kareem Kanter actually had a decent year for Xavier. And they play Gonzaga, who's got a lot of decent bigs like Killian Tilly and Rui Hachimura and Jonathan Williams, who played on the national championship team. Not nearly as good as that team, of course, but who do you have in that one?
I will defer to you. Since you didn't even have Gonzaga in there and you weren't thrilled about Xavier anyways.
I'll pick Gonzaga to win it. I'll pick Gonzaga to win that game.
Okay.
It's one of those ones where the matchup makes it, and I think Gonzaga just is a bad matchup for Xavier. Xavier is really, really good. Like, I don't think people like, oh, man, they didn't deserve the one seed. Well, if they didn't deserve the one seed, they were definitely going to be a two seed. They had a really, really good year. I've got Michigan beating North Carolina.
No.
You're going to go with North Carolina?
I'm going with North Carolina. Michigan is just...
Do you think the experience from the previous 2 years – listen, I feel about North Carolina the same way I feel about another team we're going to talk about as a one seed, Kansas. I feel like it's gotten remedial from since 2016. Like I thought the 2016 team that lost to Villanova for North Carolina, and Kansas too, actually, come to think of it. I felt like that team was better than the 2017 that won it all. And the 2017 team that won it all is definitely better than this one. But do you feel like they're going to be really hard to knock out?
Yeah, I think they're going to be hard to knock out in Michigan. Michigan, I think, you know, they're the seventh best team in the country, you know, and they were a 3 seed going in the tournament. They're not.
They're very different from the one that got blown up by Carolina in the Big Ten ACC Challenge. I'll say that. You know, I felt like that with Xavier Simpson at the guard spot playing defense and Muhammad Ali Abdul-Rahman and Duncan Robinson. They've got a lot of supporting players that they can throw at you. And John Beilein can coach offense. That's never been a problem for him. You know, he just knows how to get offense out of those guys. He turned DJ Wilson into a first-round pick.
Yeah, but
what's DJ Wilson doing these days in Milwaukee?
That's about it. He's just happy somebody mentioned his name up there.
So in the West region, which is actually – it was in the West Coast that the Final Four was played last year for the first time in like forever. The final was Gonzaga and North Carolina. This bracket that we have has Gonzaga and North Carolina in the Elite Eight. Is it the same result, North Carolina beating Gonzaga?
I would pick North Carolina.
You would go in North Carolina here. I think in this case, North Carolina would probably outlast Gonzaga again.
Okay.
I'll go with that one. So we got North Carolina winning that region. We're going to be flipping now to the East region. This is where Villanova at 30-4 is the one seed. They would play and will beat the winner of LIU Brooklyn versus Radford. Where is LIU Brooklyn? I know it's in Brooklyn.
Long Island.
It wasn't always called LIU Brooklyn, right? It was just called just LIU.
I think so.
I mean, I think they kind of changed the name on us maybe a few years ago. The 8-9 game on this one, and this is in Pittsburgh, by the way, is Virginia Tech versus Alabama. Virginia Tech is coached by Buzz Williams. They got some depth, good offensively. Alabama is good defensively, and they're very, very young. They're one of the youngest teams in the country, but they got Colin Sexton.
Yeah, I'll go with Alabama.
You think that the star power rises to the top in this case?
Yeah, in my 9-8 seed.
You know what's funny is that last year Virginia Tech played Wisconsin, I believe, and it was that, and they lost that game, and then Wisconsin was in that 8-9 game and beat Villanova in the second round. So it's like Virginia Tech sort of in that little situation again where they might lose to in the 8-9 game and the team that beats them winds up beating Villanova. Like, we could just jump to that right now. Do you feel like Villanova can lose to Alabama?
No.
No?
No. We could just put them in the finals.
Okay, so you do not smell an upset with Colin Sexton just going into takeover mode like he did in the SEC tournament.
No, nor do I think Wichita State or Murray State or West Virginia State could do anything to Villanova.
Okay, well, we got to save some of the drama here. San Diego sub-regional, I like this one just because I want that second round matchup I'm thinking of. West Virginia is the 5 seed. They play Murray State. Murray State had a great year in the Ohio Valley, but do you think they could beat West Virginia?
Oh, yeah, I think they can. Will they? Probably
not. Are you going to go that far?
You got to pick 1-12 over a 5.
So you want Murray State to beat West Virginia?
I don't think West Virginia's ever that good.
Well, I think they were better than they were last year, and that's
every year they try. Every year, people try to tell me West Virginia's really good. West Virginia, no, they suck every year.
The problem I have with Murray State is that their entire strength of their team is guard play, and West Virginia is going to just press the shit out of them. That's the problem. I'm going to overrule you there, and I'm going to go West Virginia. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
I have to do it. I mean, you can definitely throw an egg in my face if Murray State pulls the upset on the 12 over a 5. Wichita State versus Marshall. Marshall won the CUSA tournament, which bumped Middle Tennessee out. Did you cry a tear for the little guy when they left out Middle Tennessee State?
No.
I like the fact that they were like, well, they beat Michigan State 2 years ago. I'm like, yeah, that was 2 years ago. That has nothing to do with this year. I got Wichita State in this one. Do you?
Sounds about right.
Okay. Let's go to that Dallas sub-regional in the East bracket here. This is Florida is the 6, and they place the winner of St. Bonaventure versus UCLA, which is in Dayton. We didn't this is the first one that we're talking about so far in the first four, which is going to be starting on Tuesday. First of all, who do you think wins between St. Bonaventure and UCLA?
Probably UCLA.
You got your fair share of looking at St. Bonaventure out of the A-10, though, huh? You got a little bit of a look?
They're just a one.
Jalen Adams, I think.
They're just a one Jalen Adams pony.
Okay. So you think UCLA with Aaron Holiday and Thomas Welsh, they'll take care of them?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. UCLA versus Florida. I got Florida. I think Florida's underrated.
I think they're overrated and would take UCLA.
You'll take UCLA. I'll defer there since I had to overrule you on West Virginia.
No, you can still take Florida. But...
Oh, no. I'll give you UCLA. And now, you know why I'm going to give you that one? A first four winner has won their first round game at least one time every year. Every single year since they did the expansion. So it has to happen. It's either going to be St. Bonaventure, UCLA is going to be the one in the next region that we're going to talk about. Texas Tech versus Stone Cold Stephen F. Austin. Thomas Walkup's not walking through that door. Texas Tech.
We'll go Texas Tech.
7-10. This is interesting. Arkansas versus Butler. I'm going to defer to you. I really don't know who's going to win.
Butler.
You think Butler's just – I mean, now listen. Chris Holman's gone. He's at Ohio State. Now they're down to like the third or fourth revolution of the Brad Stevens post-Brad Stevens era. I'm not saying Lavelle Jordan's a bad coach. It's just that we're getting kind of far removed now, buddy. They're still good, but
they're Big East. So now they're just another Big East team.
Arkansas's got this one big guy named Daniel Gafford that I really like. So that's the one guy I would tell you to keep an eye on. Not necessarily saying that they're going to win, but good team, talented team.
But Arkansas just seemed like – they just seemed an average – they didn't seem that good.
They sucked away from Bud Walton's arena. I mean, awful. Like, they were like – I think they won – I think you could count on one hand how many games they won on the road. That bad. Purdue versus Cal State Fullerton. I know 15 sometimes beats a 2, but no, not here. Purdue versus Butler. This is interesting because Butler's the kind of team that always steps it up in the tournament. Purdue's the kind of team that sort of steps down in the tournament. Do you see an upset here?
No, because as much as I don't like Purdue, I just don't.
They have little guards, but they can all shoot.
There's no reason they shouldn't win.
What do you think of that big guy, Isaac Haas? Do you think he'll play in the NBA, even like for a Byron Mullins chance?
No.
No? You don't think that Isaac Haas will get a cup of coffee in the NBA?
Yeah, no, he doesn't have the NBA's
mobility,
changed.
I guess?
Yeah, the NBA has changed. His type is sort of...
Yeah, like the Jahlil Okafor experiment. Oy, the yoy, yoy. I hope he's not playing too poorly out there in Brooklyn, I think it is, huh?
He's been getting DNPs.
Lordy.
I don't know if he's injured or whatnot. But...
Because I've been so lost in the fog with NCAA, I've been having to defer to you with NBA for like the last couple of weeks. Also, I did not want to – this was the – I tried to make the tremendous excuse that I've been not recording the show because I didn't want to hex the Pelicans, and now they've lost two in a row. UCLA versus Texas Tech, and this is in Dallas. I've got Texas Tech, but okay. I'm super confident on them.
I'm not excited about Texas Tech ever.
But so are you going to go with UCLA and Steve Alford?
I'm not enough to override you.
Okay. override me. I'll take it. West Virginia, Wichita State, they're both good offensively, but this is going to be a rock fight. Who do you have in this one?
Wichita.
And it's in San Diego, which is really weird. You know, these two, like a Midwest team and like an East Coast team, all in there. They're supposed to be really tough and rugged, and they're playing in San Diego, California. So which one did you have?
Wichita.
Wichita?
I've already. I tried to pitch Murray State over West Virginia, and you didn't bite.
My friend Ryan and I love the Ron Baker, Fred VanVleet teams. So I'll go with Wichita State. Greg Marshall's just got a way. He's got a way of just getting his teams ready. Like, they're always prepared. Even when they lose, like when they lost to Kentucky last year, they were ready for Kentucky. And Kentucky that year with De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk, that team was fucking good. You know, and they almost beat them. Now we're going to be going in. Now we're in that East semifinal and regional final. Nova versus Wichita State.
Averty said Nova.
You got Villanova. I've got Villanova in that situation too, because if they give up too many threes, they're toast. Purdue Texas Tech is weird because they're very, very different. Purdue is really good offensively. They got some defensive strengths. Texas is all about defense and athleticism. So very big clash of styles there. Who do you think would who do you pick in that scenario?
I'd probably just go Texas Tech.
Okay, so you got Purdue just not pulling it off.
I can't keep picking predictable.
Well, I can't keep picking Purdue. I mean, Purdue's just got to – they got to prove it to me. They really do. I mean, I'll pick them to go to Sweet 16 like they did last year. I'm not picking them to go to the Elite Eight, you know. I mean, listen, like Mike Bray pulled it off a few years ago with Jerry and Grant and Pat Connaughton, but I don't know. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
So you got there in the East in our East Regional Final, we got Villanova versus Texas Tech. Interesting. I didn't even think Texas Tech would get that far. You got Villanova?
Of course.
I got Villanova too. I got Villanova in that one. I mean, we haven't really talked that deeply about them yet, but the thing that has set apart Villanova from last year, and I thought last year's team was really good. They were number one overall seed and they lost the second round. They kind of felt like Josh Hart and Chris Jenkins as, seniors they had to sort of lean on them a little bit too much. And if those two guys had bad games, which they did in their tournament loss, it sort of ruins everything. And they didn't have Amari Spellman due to academics. So they had no big outside of Eric Pascal and Daryl Reynolds. This year, they got a little bit of size and they have a little bit more defensive versatility than I would have expected. And Mikal Bridges is an NBA player. He really is. Have you seen him at all?
A little bit.
Do you like him more than Miles?
Yeah.
They get mixed up a lot because of the last name, of course.
Yeah.
So Villanova into the tournament, or into the Final Four in San Antonio. All right, Midwest bracket. Here we go. This is a little bit of a top-heavy one, but let's dig in. Kansas versus Penn. I'll say this about Penn. Penn is supposed to be one of like the highest-rated 16-seeded teams of all time, according to KenPom.
Well, good for them. They could still go home with the rest of the 16 seeds.
Oh, you are such a party member. They will play the winner of Seton Hall versus NC State. Jason Greenhouse, holla holla. Do you have Seton Hall or NC State in this one? This one's kind of close.
Let's go with Omer Yurtseven.
Oh, yes. The man who went to the NBA Combine and went back to school because he said, oh, wait, I'm not ready for this. You'll go with NC State, huh? Seton Hall was good, though. Their non-conference was tremendous, meaning that they challenged themselves against good teams.
Then pick them. I'm fine.
No, we'll go with NC State. You picked NC State. I got to give you a few.
I'm not.
Adam, you humble brag a lot, but you're smarter than you think.
I'm not committed to that pick at all. It's just you got to pick somebody.
Clemson, New Mexico State. I don't like Clemson at all, and they lost their like best player Dante Grantham to a torn ACL. So I think New Mexico. I'm not like the biggest New Mexico State fan, but I think they can beat them.
Oh, they're not going to, but I'll go with it for the sake of 12 over 5.
Yeah, because we got to get one. And, you know, I mean, listen, we do see sometimes the 14 over 3. I think that was UAB beating Fred Hoiberg in Iowa State. And I'm trying to remember, well, the 15-2 was Middle Tennessee State. Like, do you see any there?
As in Iona over Duke? No.
Oh, that was Lehigh. Oh, you're talking about the scenario.
I mean this year, no.
This is all, by the way, this Clemson one. The thing about Clemson, New Mexico State, and Auburn, Charleston, is that this is in San Diego. This is kind of weird territory for, you know, these two southern, like southern bred type of teams. Like, it's going to be very, very strange territory for them. And I think their early games on that on a Friday, it's just going to be strange.
Yeah, so you can have New Mexico State.
What about Charleston and Auburn?
Auburn.
You got that one, okay. I was kind of leaning on Charleston, but I think Charleston, New Mexico State would be a little too out there. TCU is going to play the winner of – this is the other first four game. And like I said, first four winner always goes on to the second round, at least one of them. Arizona State, Syracuse. First of all, I don't know if Syracuse even deserve to be in the tournament, but they're here. Let's go.
Of course not. They're They're just Dick Vitale's team, so that's always just toss of it.
All right, who do you have between Arizona State and Syracuse?
Probably Syracuse, because Arizona State isn't that good.
Their guards are really small, but they can shoot. But they're just, they were terrible in the Pac-12. Their non-conference was great. They won at Kansas. They beat Xavier. But their non-conference – dude, they were like 8-10 in the Pac-12. That's awful. It's awful. Mm-hmm. So Syracuse would play TCU. TCU is coached by Jamie Dixon. You'll never believe this, but they play fast and they're good offensively. And Jamie Dixon is their coach.
It's just funny. He leaves Pittsburgh and like within 1 year,
I'll stop you. They hire Kevin Stallings. That kind of ruined it all.
Okay.
I mean, but yes, they absolutely took Jamie Dixon for granted. I agree with you there. So you have TCU, you have Syracuse.
TCU.
Okay. Orange Frogs, here they come. All right, Michigan State Bucknell, 3-14. No upset this time for Michigan State. I think I got this one. This is in Detroit, by the way. Now we move on to the Pittsburgh Sub-Regional. This is okay. Let's go ahead and give you your soundboard, okay? I know you don't like to use it, but here's the chance, here's the opportunity. URI, you're a roadie, not like Jeff Jarrett's roadie, a real roadie. The Rhode Island Rams, they play Trae Young in Oklahoma. They're on the national spotlight in Pittsburgh.
ESPN spent 3 months trying to tell me Oklahoma's good, and then they suck and lost like every game.
Or maybe they're just lulling them to sleep so that when Trae Young busts out in a tournament, everybody pays attention all over again.
So Trae Young can score 40, but nobody else in that team is doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the definition of just a one-player team.
Rhode Island plays very small, though, correct?
Rhode Island just plays five guards.
Pretty much. Like, they got Andre Berry, but he's like 300 pounds.
Yeah, he is.
He's a big dude. he's a bully down there. You know, I mean, I don't know if he could take Kadeem Latin, who's a shot blocker for Oklahoma, but he's a big boy. You know, I like their team. EC Matthews, Jared Terrell, they've both been around forever. I really like number 11, Jeff Doughton. That's a good player.
EC Matthews had a terrible tournament.
Well, I think he had a bad year, and he was like voted like the A-10 player of the year or the A-10 first team. I was like, oh, no. He was on the koozie watch. I was like, what? He tore his ACL, which is what ruined a lot of his, like, what made him good. You know, Terrell had a great year. That was the A-10 play of the year, actually, that I was thinking of, I believe.
You've already said you've taken Oklahoma, and it's just fine.
I've got OU because of Trae Young.
Okay.
I just feel like they'll get hot. Okay. Fight me. I mean, if you want to pick them, it's your team. If you want them, I'll give them to you.
Well, you're welcome to take them. I just think they're
terrible.
All right,
well, your alma mater's going to lose. I'm sorry to tell you that. Duke-Iona, no chance, Duke. Now the March Madness ratings getters, they get what they want. They get Trae Young versus Duke's bevy of pros. Any chance of an upset? Duke lost in the second round last year to South Carolina.
No.
No, Duke crushes them. That's what you're saying.
Yep.
Okay, so you got Duke in the Sweet 16. Because
that's URI, okay. They had it down here. Okay, pick the fashionable pick. Duke's just going to destroy them.
Sub-regional to finish up in Detroit. That's Michigan State versus TCU. I think Michigan State crushes them.
Yeah.
I think that's sort of manifest destiny right there. San Diego, New Mexico State, and Auburn. I'll take Auburn there, yes. I mean, I'm not that trustworthy of Bruce Pearl. I mean, can you sort of understand why?
Of course, but you're New Mexico State, come on.
In their backyard in Wichita, Kansas plays NC State. I know NC State pulled it off against Villanova a few years ago, but I don't think this time. I'll take Kansas.
Yep.
All right, and now we're going to be in Omaha. That's where going to be the regional semis and the regional finals is going to be, in the Midwest bracket. Kansas versus Auburn. I'll take Kansas here, not because I feel so great about Kansas. I just don't think Auburn can last.
I agree.
I think they'll just be happy to be in the Sweet 16 and sayonara. Michigan State versus Duke. They played in the Champions Classic, and Duke won, where Marvin Bagley missed a lot of it with an eye injury, and Grayson Allen took over. We haven't really delved that much into Duke. I'm sure some people would throw up in their mouths a little bit if we talk too much about Duke. But, I mean, it has to be said, like, you know, Marvin Bagley, Wendell Carter Jr., Gary Trent Jr., Trayvon Duvall, Grayson Allen as a senior. Very good team. I mean, a lot of length. They play a 2-3 zone, which is kind of strange for a Duke team. But, you know, they got a lot of athleticism, a ton of dunks. Have you gotten a good look at them?
Who?
Duke.
Enough to know, you know, this one-and-done era, they should just put it together. And against Michigan State, who's also their one-and-done team now.
Mm-hmm. Well, they got a lot of size. A lot of size. I mean, they got Jaren Jackson. I think the surprise was that I don't think anyone knew Jaren Jackson Jr. was that good. So when they went in there, you were just thinking, okay, Nick Ward's going to be kind of the leader patrolling the paint with, like, some other good college bigs like Gavin Schilling and Kenny Goins and guys like that. And Jaren Jackson Jr. just came out of nowhere and gave him another, like, another guy defensively. He can also make some threes. So, and he's kind of rising up the lottery board. But it's I kind of get the same feeling about this in the Sweet 16 as I did about when Kentucky played UCLA, where it's like, I don't know if this is going to have an impact on who wins the national championship, but these are two very good teams going head to head.
Yeah, I'll go with Duke.
You're going to go with Duke. I have Duke in there too, in that one. Duke Kansas, I'm going to just tell you straight up, I think Kansas is overrated, and I think Duke is actually much better than them.
Oh, yeah. Plus, Kansas always just chokes, so.
It's not just choking. I'm going to tell you, I think it's the opposite. I think they've actually figured out that how to beat the crap out of inferior teams, which was Bill Self's big faux pas in the previous years. Like, they lost to Bucknell, and they lost to Bradley, and Northern Iowa, and VCU, and it was like, oh my god, Kansas always loses to these teams that they're better than. I think they've sort of figured out that portion of the tournament where when they play lesser teams, they pretty much take it, but when they play a team that's more athletic than them or just talent-wise better than them overall, they just can't get it done. Like, I remember watching them against Oregon last year, and I was just like, man, Oregon's just better than Kansas. And Oregon just did whatever they wanted against them. I feel the same way if they play Duke. I just don't think, oh, Kansas has the horses.
Agreed.
So we'll go Duke there. We got our Final Four, Adam. Can you believe that?
Yay. And again, it's the same teams we knew would be here.
Well, some of them. I mean, some of them might be considered in some ways a surprise. Arizona, we had winning the South. UNC, North Carolina, they would play each other in the national semifinal in San Antonio. Who would you have in that situation?
Oh, I'd pick North Carolina because even though they have the best player of the year, North Carolina knows big time, big court basketball.
So you're going to go with that experience with Pinson and Barry and Luke May even, who had that game winner against Kentucky. I'll defer that one. I mean,
because there's a difference between playing, you know, in an NBA arena and then a big giant vacuum like the Final Four is.
That's true. Like, I remember when VCU made their run, like we mentioned a few times, is that, you know, yeah, they made a bunch of threes and they looked really good, you know, as they made their run in the tournament. But then you go to Houston, Texas in the Final Four and it's like, oh, okay, this is different. And they ran out and they just didn't have the mojo again because it's another weekend. It's not just that it's another set of games that you have to win in a four-team tournament. It's so fucking big. Like, it does get to be a bit too much for some teams. Do you agree?
Oh, yeah. Just, like, watching just, like, most of their shots are just off because, well, your depth perception, lighting perception, it's all not what you're used to anymore.
Don't tell that to Villanova when they, like, shot 80% on Oklahoma a couple years ago, though. And some people say, okay, now you're just making excuses for your shitty shooting. Speaking of Villanova, they would play Duke on the other side. That's a sexy matchup. What do you have there?
I'll probably go with Villanova, but I could be talked out of it.
I can't. I want to do it, but I can't because I think Duke's – if they play a 2-3 zone, Villanova will kill it. They will kill it dead with the threes.
Okay.
I'll just go there. We have a rematch from the 2016 national title, Villanova versus North Carolina. And Chris Jenkins is not walking through that door. No regrets? No regrets?
Well, like,
do you feel good about it? Like, listen, that West bracket is all over the place. Like, I feel like a few teams could win it.
Yeah, but, you know, you want to pick UNC Duke again? No.
Oh, no. That's not what I was talking about. I'm just, you know, because, you know, we got Virginia out. Nova went chalk. You know, Duke's a 2-seed, but they feel they're talented enough to win it all, and everyone knows it. And then there's Arizona. So
yeah, it's like, you know, North Carolina and Duke. Yeah, they're a 2-seed, but what does that mean? Absolutely nothing.
Between North Carolina and Villanova, I'm going with Villanova. I got to. I know that'll torture North Carolina fans that they lost to them twice in a row.
Then I will have to, for sake of argument, just pick North Carolina, only because you picked Villanova.
Then how do we tie break this? Because this is a national title game. We defer.
I mean, you could pick Villanova for the pool, but I could just have bragging rights if.
Oh, so basically, it's like your little side bracket. So that you could throw the shade back on me if they win.
No, there's no tiebreaker, but it's just, you know, that's why I'm just unexcited, because the way the bracket falls out, it's just like, oh, look, we have a rematch of last year. NBA, oh, look, it's Golden State.
It would be really depressing, though, if North Carolina, I'm only saying in this context, not necessarily that, you know, oh, they always get away with these scandals, they just get away scot-free. The thing about North Carolina, if they go back to the national title game, is, like I said, I feel like North Carolina is like a worser version of the previous two teams, so it kind of feels like college basketball got worse.
It did. If you look at the prospects, you can't be telling me, you know, that half these players are good in the lottery anymore. They're not. They're 19-year-old kids, and all the Kentucky ones being, oh, they're all lottery picks. They're all terrible. Mm-hmm. Every single one at Kentucky is not a lottery pick.
Give me some of the teams that we talked about that you would say just kind of keep an eye on. They could make a run. Even so, you could even go like 4-seed or lower. I mean, one's a 5-seed, but I think West Virginia could really make some noise.
See, I can't. I never think of West Virginia doing anything ever.
Mm-hmm.
That's the school. Like, I could just like, no, you are who you are. You're good at home. You have the home court advantage. But anytime you play in a neutral place, you suck.
Yeah. I know JT wants you to say Providence.
No, because they're going to bounce the second round easily.
I mean, there's always some storylines that you always kind of like creep up on. The one that I think we already talked about was that someone between Mick Cronin and Sean Miller is going to be making the leap. I don't know who it is. But, I mean, obviously Virginia's got to get bounced in order for that to happen. But, I mean, do you feel like that does – I mean, because we saw that – didn't this happen last year with Mark Few? Where it was like, okay, somebody in this bracket's going to the Final Four, but we don't know which one it is, and it turned out to be Mark Few that got the monkey off his back. Do you feel like a coach is going to get the monkey off his back this year?
No, it just seems more of the same. Or, for all we know, again, like we were saying in the beginning, Kentucky could just win everything and throw a monkey wrench in everybody.
I'll throw two things at you about Gonzaga and Villanova. Everybody was already on the train last year before they made their title game run. Because they lost in the title game, that Gonzaga just couldn't get it done. Like, they're always overseeded, they choke when it's big, and then they finally have that run where they go to the title game, they get to the Final Four, and all of a sudden, people are just more than willing to just kind of be liberated about Gonzaga. Oh, they can make a run, they could go to the title game, they could do this and that. And maybe just 2017 was just the outlier. And I feel this, and the same thing kind of might go with Villanova in 2016. Do you feel like just picking them to go all the way again might be a little facetious, because remember they lost in the second round last year?
Oh, it seems easy. It seems easy. But I don't know, you gotta go with what you don't try to overthink it too much.
So you're saying I'm overthinking it in that case?
In that case, you're gonna change like 3/4 of your picks.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, no, I don't like it. No. But
that's where you screw up. You screw up when you're looking at, for those people with the tips, go with your gut. Whatever the first pick you thought, do it. Because it probably is the one that you want to do the most anyway.
That's why you find your team you want to make a run, then you work with that, and then you work your way around that pick.
When I did my article for Place the Nation, I called one of my subjects, topics on it, the Stone Cold Stunner. The one upset that just ruins every bracket in the first round where, like, all 99% are eliminated. Which one will it be? There's always one. It's probably one we didn't even talk about.
Oh, it probably isn't. It's probably, like, again, I don't see what happened to the second round anyways.
Like Bucknell beating Michigan State or UNC Greensboro beating Gonzaga, something crazy like that.
Or Arizona losing.
Arizona losing to Kentucky. Yeah, that could just ruin it all. Davidson beating Kentucky would probably stun a lot of people.
Uh-huh.
Even though it's a 5-12. I mean, I think we've kind of called back to that a couple of times. Overall, I mean, how do you feel about the just in general? You feel good about those picks and you feel good about North Carolina playing Villanova again?
No, but...
You don't feel good about anything. You don't feel good in general, unfortunately. But that's going to be wrapping up our picks. We're going to be putting this version of what we talked about on the show as a bracket on the Place to Be Nation Challenge. I don't know how well it's going to do. I bet it'll be doing a little bit better than we expected. But, you know, I feel good about it. You know, it feels a little empty. There's not as many voices in the room for this edition of the March Madness, but here we are. You know, it was fun.
As always.
On behalf of Adam Murray, this is Andrew Reich. Enjoy the NCAA tournament, guys. And we'll be back with some NBA team episodes in the very near future. Thanks a lot, guys.